Ready, Jan? Ready? We'll call the meeting to order. Ask the clerk to read the roll.
Mike Polakoff?
Here.
Michael Serpy?
Here.
Wayne Kessel's excused. Deb Skarda?
Here.
Jim Bandura?
Here.
Judy Giuliana?
Here.
Bill Stobig is excused. John Skalbeck?
Here.
Brock Williamson?
Here.
Quorum present. Consider approval of the July 2nd and July 9th.
Move to approve.
Okay. Motion, is there a second? Motion made and second for approval of the July 2nd and July 9th minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it. Correspondence, Jean?
I have none this evening.
Okay. Citizens' comments. We have a number of items that are public hearing. If you're here to comment on anything that's a public hearing, you can save your comment until that item appears. But if there's anything else that you'd like to approach this commission on, now is your opportunity to talk, and we ask that you give your name and address. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close citizens' comments. New business, memorandum of understanding between the Village of Pleasant Prairie and Wisconsin DOT. Jean?
Trustee Serpy, members of the Plan Commission, the Main Street Market development as in part of the Freighter South development that's being developed at the intersection of 165 and 31 required that an MOU or Memorandum of Understanding be executed between the Village of Pleasant Prairie and the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. As part of that evaluation, there was a traffic impact analysis, or TIA, that was completed for the various intersections in proximity to their Main Street Market development, which included all of the intersections and driveway points on Old Green Bay Road, Highway 165, as well as Highway 31. There's also a connection point up at Jelly Belly Lane to the east into the Main Street Market development. The Village of Pleasant Prairie, specifically our Village Engineering Department, has been working with Dan Chopp and members from the Bayer Development Group, the Main Street Market LLC, as well as with Art Bauman from the DOT in putting together the Department of Transportation MOU. Again, based on a detailed set of plans that have been prepared based on a detailed MOU and a traffic study and a more recent traffic study this spring that was updated from 2015. They were required to update, and the DOT took charge of that, updating some of the traffic counts. And this was based on the fact that there were some traffic closures and road closures when 39th Avenue or Highway EZ was under construction, so they actually had to redo some of that actually this spring as well. So traffic analysis and design, and working with the Village and working with Main Street Market and working with the DOT, has put together this MOU that identifies what specific responsibilities are going to be required as a result of this commercial development for Main Street Market, and what the WISDOT responsibilities would be as well. As you will recall, as part of the TID 6 project plan and the development agreement that was entered into with Bayer Development, basically Main Street Market LLC and the Village, all of the obligations and responsibilities set forth in this MOU are responsibilities of the Main Street Market LLC developer. So while we are entering into this agreement with the DOT, the developer entered into the agreement with the Village. So this is kind of a pass-through of obligations, financial and otherwise, for the developer. So they have been involved in this process with respect to getting this approval put together. At that time, we gave ourselves 60 or 90 days in order to work with the DOT in order to get all of these specific improvements outlined in this agreement. And we're now at that point where we need to seek approval by the Plan Commission and the Village Board, and that'll be executed by the DOT. So we have Matt down at the end. He's our Village Engineer, and he can go through specifically some of these responsibilities. Obviously, what you see up on the screen is the general location map, as well as there's a scenario map that identifies basically the traffic counts, the turning movements, and improvements that will be made under various phases 1, 2, and 3. So, Matt?
Thank you. As Jean mentioned, there was a TIA that was completed, and really the MOU kind of summarizes the TIA findings and responsibilities of the developer for this project. The improvements are going to be as such. Old Green Bay Road is going to be reconstructed as a kind of a two-lane road with curb and gutter and a median in the center. There will be designated turn lanes into the development of Old Green Bay Road will be eventually signalized. If you look at the MOU, it's in three phases. The signal might come a little bit later, but it's going to be set up for a signal. And when it's warranted, that signal would be placed in. There will be designated left turn lanes in that intersection. 104th Street will be redone a little bit from Green Bay Road to Old Green Bay Road. A lane will be added, and then there'll be a designated right and left turn lanes again at Old Green Bay Road at that intersection. There will be a eventual light at Jelly Belly Lane and Highway 31. That's in what's designated as Phase 3 here. The three phases are kind of as such. Fratered South, when Fratered South goes in, that's Phase 1, which just includes their driveways to Old Green Bay Road. And then when any development occurs south of Old Green or south of the Fratered, their Phase 2 areas will be needed to be improved. That's 104th Street and Old Green Bay Road. And Phase 3 is any development north of Fratered South that will require the reconstruction of Old Green Bay Road and Main Street along with the signal at Jelly Belly Lane. I think the intent of the developer is this, as Fratered South goes in, and then this year is going to be designing 104th Street and Old Green Bay Road with land acquisition that's needed, and that 104th and Old Green Bay Road up to 102nd Street or just north of that will be constructed next year. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Matt, why isn't the Jelly Belly Lane, why isn't the map show that street? Is that going to be putting in at a later date?
Do you want to circle it?
East of Jelly Belly Lane?
Oops.
East of Jelly Belly Lane, Main Street?
Main Street, yeah.
Yeah, Main Street will be put in, call
you
it phase.
You don't show that on the map?
Yeah, it shows it on the map.
So Peggy's identified the location of where.
I'm looking at the.
Up on the screen, she's identified it, that Main Street
okay.
will be
right.
east of Jelly
okay.
Belly Lane.
Okay, that's fine. Any comments or questions from the commission?
Where are you guys going to remerge two lanes going east of this area? Are you going to do it right after Old Green Bay Road, or are you going to go a little bit farther?
It'll be right after Old Green Bay Road. It'll start tapering back in to the east there.
Any other comments or questions? It's your pleasure.
Recommend approval.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the MOU. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Was there a second to that? I'm sorry.
I'll second that.
Okay. Again, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Item B, public hearing and consideration of a final condominium plat development agreement and related exhibits. By Mark Everly.
Jane. Trustee Servi, members of the Plan Commission. This is the consideration of the final condominium plat development agreement and related exhibits. And this is at the request of Mark Everly, PE of Nielsen, Matson & Barber, on behalf of the Cottages at Village Green, LLC, the developer of the property located north of Main Street at 47th Avenue. And this is for the second phase of the Cottages at Village Green, 41 condominium units, including 29 single-unit buildings and 6 two-unit buildings. With respect to previous approvals for this development, on April 3rd, 2017, the Village Board conditionally approved the conceptual plan for the cottages at Village Green Heights, located north of Main Street at 47th Avenue and east of the extension of 98th Street. The conceptual plan included the development of a total of 72 condominium units, which is 38 single-unit buildings and 17 two-unit buildings. On June 5th, 2017, the board conditionally approved a preliminary condominium plat, Resolution 17-21, for the development of the 72 condo units. On August 21st, 2017, the board conditionally approved the final condominium plat, Resolution 1733, for the first phase of the development that included 31 condominium units. In addition, the board also approved a certified survey map, a development agreement, and the cottages at Village Green condominium planned unit development ordinance. The existing PUD allows for single-unit buildings, more than one building per property, and slightly reduced setbacks. Provided that the buildings are all condominiums, all units will have individual entries with no common hallways. All the exterior materials are maintenance-free and will include elements of natural stone or brick materials, and building types will provide a common theme without being monotonous. This evening, we're looking at the final condominium plat for Phase 2. At this time, the petitioner is requesting approvals for the final phase of the development, including 41 condominium units, which includes 29 single-unit buildings and 6 two-unit buildings. The proposed final phase of the development is consistent with the village's comprehensive land use plan, including the Village Green Neighborhood Plan, the conceptual plan, and the preliminary condominium plat. The public roadways and all required easements were dedicated on CSM Certified Survey Map 2841 and are also shown on the condominium plat. The wetlands on the property were zoned C1, Lowland Resource Conservancy District, and will remain protected. The entire development has a net density of 6 units per acre, net acre. The development will have 4 different ranch condominium models ranging in size from 1,460 to 1,830 square feet and 2-story Cape Cod-style units ranging from 1,900 to 2,200 square feet. The housing units will provide for 2 or 3 bedrooms with first-floor masters, 2 or 2.5 bathrooms, full basements, 2-car garages, and covered porches. The site will be landscaped with lawn irrigation, foundation plantings, and street trees. It's anticipated that the units will range in value from about $270,000 to $370,000. The developer anticipates starting construction on the required public improvements this summer on this phase and projects that the development will be completed within 2 to 3 years. Municipal sanitary sewer and water will be provided to service all of the condominium units within the development. As part of the Village Green Heights Addition No. 1 subdivision, sanitary sewer had been installed in a portion of this area to service the development, including within Main Street and along 46 Court, which connects to the sanitary sewer in the Meadowdale Estates Addition No. 1 subdivision to the northeast. As part of the Phase 1 sewer and water, they were installed within South Cottage Lane and North Cottage Lane, where other public roadway improvements were installed. Phase 2 will include installation of sewer and water within 98th Street, which is the east-west street, and water within a portion of 46th Court, and that's the very northeast corner where the cul-de-sac is, to service the remainder of the development. The stormwater retention basin facility for the development has already been constructed, and that's, as you can see, located in the southeast corner of the site. The developer will be installing additional public storm sewer main and drainage system improvements to serve the Phase 2 of this development. The public roadways will be constructed pursuant to village specifications, as noted in Chapter 405 of the Municipal Code, and a slight shifting with respect to the placement of the sidewalks as shown on the plans. The construction site access, similar to the previous phase, the construction access to the development for installing roadway, utility infrastructure, and building the condos will continue to be from Highway 165 going north on 47th Avenue and then into the development onto 46th Court and into 98th Street. The local roadways within the Village Green Heights development shall be avoided with heavy construction equipment when constructing the infrastructure and building the condominiums. A transportation improvement fee pursuant to the attached memorandum of understanding executed in 2004 regarding contributions for Highway 165 corridor improvements. The developer is responsible for his payment of $50,000 to the village at the time of the final condominium plat approval. In addition, at the time that each of the condo building permits are issued, the remaining $50,000 shall be paid at a village rate of $694.44 for future improvements to 165. Peggy tells me he's already paid the first $50,000. So with that, I'd like to continue the public hearing. We have all the documents are in order, and we're going to continue to process this for the upcoming village board meeting. This is a public hearing. Thank you.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak?
Maybe the developer would like to come up to talk about the project and how it's going.
Okay, Doug.
My name is Doug Stonick. I live at 3116 86th Street. We're ready to move ahead with phase two. Of the 41 units that we have back there, we now have 22 reservations on them. So it's time to make that move, and acceptance has been absolutely phenomenal. So we're very, very excited about it. And I'm here to answer any questions that you might have.
We'll continue the public hearing, Doug. If anybody wishes to ask, we'll bring it back up. Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing and open up to comments and questions from the commission. Mike?
Question to staff, or maybe goes to Doug, is, you know, when we're looking at the construction access of using 46th, is that what it was?
47th Avenue goes north into the development, and then 46th Court will go into the cul-de-sac, and then they'll go left or west on 98th Street.
Did you guys evaluate, you know, doing just a temporary gravel drive coming from Springbrook over to the site, getting a temporary easement from a property owner? And that way you're really just, you know, barely using Main Street. 46 was just repaved, was just paved last year. Because on one hand, we're saying we're going to, you know, if we wanted to withhold traffic on there if it's heavy loads, well, I don't know what the option is at that point. You know, it's, if we were to just do kind of like we did in Devonshire, where we had access up off of 93rd Street, where they just, you know, we didn't require them to build a road, just get a, put some gravel down and drive in from. I was looking to see if you had a map that kind of showed that area, but I didn't see it when I was before the meeting. I was looking, but it might, at the end of the day, save the village some wear and tear on our road, and it might save Doug some money, because if the traffic, it's going to be, we're going to be, you know, bringing in heavy traffic on a brand new road.
So we did discuss it as a staff and talking with our engineer and our public works director. I think we all felt that 47th Avenue and then the road that Doug was just completing, it's built to the village's standards. They're not private roads. So it's a concrete road with the asphalt overlay.
Doug, I'm not worried about that once he gets on it. I'm just to get there.
Doug and his GC are in control of all the contractors and doing all the development. So we felt that there wouldn't be any developers, contractors that would be kind of going crazy or going in the wrong places or the wrong direction with respect to their heavy loads on the project site. Also, based on the number of commitments that he has, that we just felt that it was not a project that was going to drag out over a number of years, like Devonshire is just finishing now after 12 years. So we just I think we felt that it was a situation that we thought that the roads can handle it, and they're beefed up enough that it should not damage or cause any problems for the roadway system. I don't know if Matt has any other comments he'd like to add.
What would be the distance that we're talking about, Mike, from Springbrook to the cottages?
You guys have access to a...
Can you pull up an aerial? Can you get to interactive map?
Because Matt, isn't that, you know, the 46, isn't that the under the old road spec for the village?
Yeah, 47th is just 47. An asphalt road.
Just asphalt.
I think it's 5 inches of asphalt there.
That's what, they got to look and see how far it is. If 47th was under the new road spec, I wouldn't care, but it's under the old road spec.
Oh, I see.
What the staff can do is we can do a little evaluation on it to determine exactly what the conditions are of that road now and if it's experiencing any stress or problems from all the construction activity that's taken place so far. Obviously, the sewer is in, some of the water is in. Some of the utility work is already done. At some point, we're going to have construction east of 47th Avenue and all that vacant land for Main Street down to 165.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm not talking about using that access. I'm just talking about a temporary, it's not even a temporary road, basically. It's just
gravel path.
Putting a gravel path down that the contractors can use. That's what we did in Devonshire, and we really were able to keep all that construction equipment off the municipal roads as they were building them. My goal isn't to make the developer spend more money. It's really to keep, because we'll be going back to him if there's damage on the new road, and then we're going to be dealing with the residents that live on that new road. If that really ends up being the only way we can get in there, but I think it would just be, might save everybody some money from the beginning if we just define a path that, you look at that map, it'd be north of the woods, so it wouldn't affect the extension of Main Street. Main Street would still occur to the south, so they wouldn't have to work around that. And it would just have it come down into that site. And they'd pick up at Main Street on once they got to that property line.
Right. Yeah.
Trustee Polikoff, I think it's worth evaluating. To Trustee Serpy's question, I would guess that you're probably, this is me ballparking, but probably a fifth of a mile from Springbrook to to the connection. So
to me, about 1,000 feet.
Yeah, I think it's worth evaluating. I guess what are you looking for tonight? As far as are you wanting us to? We would need to get an easement from the landowner in order to put that in. So clearly, we're not going to be able to have an answer tonight. But it's something that we can look into and evaluate.
Yeah. I think that, if we get a temporary easement from the landowner, it enables, if he develops or sells that property, it doesn't affect the Main Street, development of Main Street at all. In fact, it wouldn't be a problem on that. But I don't want to say tonight that they have to do it without really knowing what the cost is, but I think it's worthwhile investigating.
Yeah.
I think we're going to require the developer to clean the streets if they get mudded up. And there's just an ongoing cost that goes on with.
It's going to go up for the next 2 years, 3 years.
So it's 1,300 feet.
1,300 feet.
Okay. We can look at that.
Yep.
My question on that, Mike, would you anticipate anybody wanting to cut through on that gravel road from Prairie Village Green to Springbrook?
not in a dump truck or. I'm really not looking to improve it. I'm really looking to be a construction all road to get in and out.
All right.
But we didn't go as far in Devonshire. It was from 93rd Street up to 97th, I think.
No, I think it cut in at one other side.
Okay, I cut in that first crossroad.
The first cul-de-sac.
All right. But it completely eliminated any damage or access issues for the first phase of Devonshire. The road, the equipment just didn't go in there, and they're building the roads for the second phase.
Yeah, I could see that being utilized for second and third phase, the gravel road.
Well, we can get an evaluation from this by the next meeting.
I'd even go and say, leave it up to staff. I think that's the goal we want to work at, but let's just see if the cost is untenable. And if the administrator and the engineer feel the offset to the possible damage to the public road is less than what it's going to be to do the other one, then Yeah, numbers are numbers.
So. The only other thing to just bring up as we look at the map, there is a median. So, I mean, they would have to be coming from the north, the contractors. There wouldn't be a way to take a left.
Springbrook median?
On Springbrook median, right. So it'd
be 1,500 feet if you went
all the way past the
all
median.
All the way past the median in ML.
Yeah. Anyway, we can evaluate it.
Okay.
We'll look into it.
Any other comments or questions?
Quick one. Mike, would you be looking for the staff, if it's feasible and reasonable, have the staff go ahead and approve it?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. Like I say, it's numbers. It's not, you know, what are you going to, you know, somebody's going to spend money one way or another, and whichever way can extend the life of the village road and not compromise the development of the new development, then.
We can make that a part of the motion if you wish.
Yes, subject to staff's evaluation and approvals, given them approvals.
And that's with the approval of the final condominium plan?
Right.
Okay. And that's a motion?
Sure.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the final condominium plat and development agreement, along with the evaluation of gravel access road to that site from Springbrook Road. Is that correct?
Right.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Item C, public hearing and consideration of a conditional use permit for the request of Jonah Hedlund of Baird Homes.
Trustee Serpy, members of the Planning Commission, this is the request of Jonah Hetland of Bear Homes on behalf of Arbor Ridge Development, Inc. for approval to use the home located at 7942 98th Circle as a sales and model home in the Arbor Ridge subdivision. This is a public hearing. As part of that hearing record, the village staff has compiled a listing of findings, exhibits, and conclusions regarding the petitioner's request, and is described below in the findings of fact. One, the petitioner is requesting a conditional use permit to use the home located at 7942 98th Circle that is currently under construction as a model home sales office for the Arbor Ridge subdivision. That's provided as Exhibit A. Two, the subject property is known as Lot 37 in the Arbor Ridge subdivision, located within U.S. Public Land Survey Section 8, Township 1 North, Range 22 East in the village of Pleasant Prairie, Kenosha County, Wisconsin. The property is further identified as tax parcel number 914-122-084-0637. Three, the property is currently zoned R4.5 PUD, Urban Single Family Residential District, with a planned unit development overlay district. Pursuant to section 420-109C1B of the village zoning ordinance, model homes and related temporary real estate sales offices or marketing centers are allowed in the R4.5 district, with the approval of a conditional use permit issued by the Plan Commission. Four, pursuant to section 420-148B-67 of the zoning ordinance, the model unit sales center are allowed with the following conditions. A, the model home sales office is allowed for 2 years and should not be used until an occupancy permit is obtained from the village. B, the model home sales office shall be handicapped accessible and meet all ADA requirements. C, the model home sales office shall not be open past 9 o'clock p.m. The application states that the model home will be open Tuesdays and Thursdays from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. or by appointment. D, proper exterior maintenance of the property shall be provided, such as but not limited to lawn and yard maintenance and snow removal. E, the lot shall be completely landscaped prior to occupancy. F, the off-street parking area shall be completed with either a gravel base or a paved surface prior to verbal occupancy. Parking shall be required within the driveways and allowed on the public streets adjacent to the units. Vehicular parking shall not block any driveways or fire hydrants and should not be allowed on the street during a snow emergency and shall not hinder any traffic visibility. Five, notices were sent to adjacent property owners via regular mail on July 2, 2018, and the required notice was published in the Kenosha News on July 9th and July 16th, 2018. And six, the petitioner was emailed a copy of the Plan Commission memo on July 20th, 2018. And finally, seven, and according to the village's zoning ordinance, the Plan Commission should not approve a CUP or conditional use permit unless they find, after viewing the findings of fact, the application, the related materials, and any information that might be presented at the hearing this evening, that the project as planned will not violate the intent or purpose of village ordinances, and it meets the minimum standards for granting of a conditional use permit. So up on the screen right now is the site plan for the house. And as you can see, it's got a little bit wider driveway outside of the right-of-way for additional parking. And then there is the elevation for the home that they intend to use. With that, I'd like to continue the public hearing.
This is a matter for public hearing. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak?
So there's a representative here, Jonah.
Okay.
So I don't know if you would like to add anything. Maybe give us a quick update on the subdivision. I know that they're working very diligently to try to finalize all the public improvements for Arbor Ridge very quickly for the homes that are under construction out there.
Good evening. Jonah Hetland, 1551 Richmond Road, Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. I'm with Bear Homes. Bear Homes is part of the Bear Real Estate Group right here in Kenosha. We currently have a model home out in Bristol. We're built out of that subdivision, so we're going to be moving into Arbor Ridge now. So this home is currently under construction. The goal will be to obtain approval tonight and on the next village board meeting so we can wrap up the house in the month of August, open it as a model early September. We do plan on using it for the Parade of Homes this year, which will be 2 weekends in the month of September. As far as the development goes, we're actually going to be getting on the next agenda, I believe, in a couple weeks for the village board to dedicate the circle portion. Those improvements are in. We got about 3, maybe 4 weeks left to wrap up everything on the south end. And we'll come back for a separate approval to dedicate those improvements. Beyond that, I think Gene covered everything, so I'm just here to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jonah.
Okay.
Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearing and open up comments and questions to the board. Anybody? It's your pleasure.
Move for approval.
Second.
Motion made and seconded for approval of item C, public consideration of conditional use permit. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Thank you. Item D, consider the request from Friend Brzezinski for Interstate Partners for the approval of a certified survey map memorandum of understanding and digital security system. Gene?
I would ask if we could take up item E as well, and we will do D and E at the same time, same developer, same project, but several items for discussion.
It's on the agenda. Go ahead.
So item D is the request of Fran Brzezinski, agent on behalf of Interstate Partners 2 WI LLC, for approval of certified survey map, memorandum of understanding, DSIS agreement, and DSIS access easement. And this is for the proposed Breeze Terrace Apartments development, generally located on the east side of 116th Avenue, south of Corporate Drive. And then the second item is a public hearing in consideration of a zoning map and zoning text amendments, also at the request of Fran Brzezinski of Interstate Partners 2 WI LLC. And this is for the Breeze Terrace Apartment development, to be located on the east side of 116th Avenue, south of Corporate Drive. Specifically, the field delineated wetlands will be placed into the C1, Lowland Resource Conservancy District. The woodlands to remain will be zone C2, and the remainder of the property would be R11, multiple family residential district, and the entire property would be placed into the PUD, Planned Unit Development Overlay District. The area that's designated as FPO, or Floodplain Overlay District, will remain on the property as well. These items are related, will be discussed at the same time, however, separate actions are required by the Plan Commission. The developer is requesting approval of the following items for Breeze Terrace, the CSM, the MOU, the DSIS, agreement and access easement, the zoning map and text amendments, including the residential development plans, all for that Breeze Terrace apartment development. There were some previous approvals that were granted on May 7th, 2018. The board approved the following items: a comprehensive plan amendment, ordinance 18-18, to amend a portion of the Lakeview West neighborhood plan and to amend the 2035 comprehensive land use plan map 9.9. And this was to change the land use plan from freeway office commercial land use designation to high density residential with an urban reserve land use designation, which would allow for the average lot area per dwelling unit to be lower than 6,200 square feet per dwelling unit. And this would have been for the following tax parcel numbers: 924-122-302-0161 and 924-122-302-0162. And this would be to accommodate a total of 213 multifamily residential apartment units and 9 buildings to be known as Breeze Terrace. In addition, Appendix 10.3 of the comprehensive plan was updated to reference the changes to the Land Use Plan Map 9.9. In addition, that night, a conceptual plan for the development of 213 apartments with a clubhouse and associated parking and site improvements was approved on 16.75 acres, and this was part of the neighborhood plan amendment. The discontinuation or vacation of 110th Street right-of-way. The request for the discontinuance or vacation of 110th Street, as shown on the slide in blue, is located to the south of their development. It's been submitted as a request, and the Village Board approved an initial resolution to initiate this process on July 2, 2018. The required public hearing has been set for August 20, 2018. Upon the vacation of the right-of-way, this land will be part of this development. Since the land was dedicated for right-of-way when the two affected parcels were created in 1990s, basically by Wispark, it's going to go back to the land that Wispark owned. Environmental features. There are 4 small wetlands totaling 0.55 acre on the properties that have been identified, field delineated by Dave Meyer of Wetland and Waterway Consulting on April 21, 2016. The wetlands on the site will be preserved and protected and will be placed into that C1 Lowland Resource Conservancy District. In addition, as shown on a tree survey, a small portion of trees within the primary environmental corridor is proposed to be removed to allow for this development. The woodlands that will remain is about 3 acres, and the existing 100-year floodplain, or 0.18 acre, on the eastern side of the site will also remain protected. The woodlands will be rezoned into the C2 Upland Resource Conservancy District, and the 100-year floodplain will remain in the FPO district as discussed. The certified survey map for the project, the CSM will combine the properties and dedicate all of the required easements, dedicate additional right-of-way, and specifies restrictive covenants for the development. Under public and private improvements, all required public and private improvements shall be made by the developer at the developer's expense. The development shall be serviced by municipal sanitary sewer and municipal water, both of which are in 116th Avenue. In addition, storm sewer and on-site stormwater retention facilities will be provided on the site as private improvements. And all of the sewer and water in the site will be private with public easements. The attached Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, related to the public-related improvements for the project needs to be executed before the issuance of any permits. In general, the MOU outlines the timing of the public improvements required to be installed within the development. There aren't many. At this time, it's recommended that only a portion of the public sidewalks adjacent to 116th Avenue be installed, and this is roughly from just north of their main driveway to the southern property boundary prior to occupancy, and the remainder of the sidewalk to the north property line be installed at the time that the roadway improvements are completed at the property owner's cost, along with public streetlights that may be needed as part of the 116th Avenue right-of-way improvements to be done with the roundabout project. Again, so the very minimal improvements for them that are related to public include a segment of sidewalks, possibly streetlights, I'd have to confirm with Matt, and street trees. And street trees may be required to be installed by the developer when the roadway is completed. And the situation is, in fact, that if the sanitary sewer force main needs to be extended south towards the State Line 94 development and it needs to be in an easement on the adjacent property, that might mean that there might be some removal of some street trees, which I just learned just a very short time ago. And if the street trees and the other trees on the site are removed, then they will have to replant all of the trees in that area. So it's something that really does need to get worked out between the village, State Line 94, and Breeze Terrace as we move over the next 2 weeks. I think we just need to get that detail ironed out. As we mentioned at previous meetings, this project is located within TID 2. The Breeze Terrace development is located in TID 2. While no further expenditures are anticipated for TID 2, the property tax revenues generated from this residential development will not be put into general operating expenses, but will be used to repay the outstanding debt of TID 2 until it is closed, which could be within the next 5 years or about 2023. The development is still required to pay property taxes on this development. TID 5 Amendment 1, the Breeze Terrace development, along with the adjacent commercial and industrial land uses, will also be a beneficiary of TID 5 Amendment Number 1, the Lakeview West Roundabout and lift station improvements to some extent. The new sanitary sewer lift station and related improvements will be constructed in 2019 to service the remaining vacant lands west of the Des Plaines River between C and the state line, including lands west of I-94 in Pleasant Prairie and Bristol. The cost associated with the new lift station is part of the TID 5 improvement costs. However, the owner-developer will be responsible for any fair share costs for the required roundabout improvements. We've provided a waiver of special assessment notice and hearing that will need to be finalized, executed, and recorded at the Register of Deeds office by the developer. At this time, it's estimated by the engineers that the roundabout improvement cost for this development is approximately $177,000. Just to clarify, the new lift station is not on this property. It is actually going to be located just to the east of the village's existing lift station, which is just on highway, the north side of Highway 165, and then to the east of Corporate Drive, but on the north side of the street, and just east of where the existing lift station is. The deed restriction that we discussed at Plan Commission and Board, a deed restriction regarding shooting, was drafted. The adjacent property owner, the adjacent property owner to the east has executed a deed restriction to restrict hunting and shooting within 60 feet of his western property line of the Breeze Terrace development. When I say development, I'm talking about the actual physical building. The deed restriction has been reviewed by the village's attorney, and it's acceptable as presented. The restriction shall be recorded at the Register of Deeds office, and a recorded copy shall be provided to the village prior to the issuance of permits. Again, our municipal code basically states that there's no shooting of that single projectile gun, any type of weapon like that, within 300 feet or 100 yards of an occupied residential dwelling. And so for that reason, there's a deed restriction 60 feet into that adjacent property to make sure that that distance is maintained. With respect to residential development plans, the Breeze Terrace apartment development will be on 17.9 acres, and that's including the 110th Street vacation area. With approximately 63% of the site, or 11.32 acres of the site, remaining as open space. The open space includes 3 acres of woodland area in the primary environmental corridor, 0.55 acre of wetlands, and 0.18 acre of 100-year floodplain. Note the area in the floodplain is also in wetlands, and so the wetland area is located within the woodlands area. So it's good that they're kind of overlapping each other. The required stormwater facilities is also located in an open space area to the east of the site, as shown on the screen. The development will provide the following two different multifamily building types. Three 33-unit buildings will provide for 12 two-bedroom units and 21 one-bedroom units with common entrances and hallways within the three-story buildings. The buildings will also include 33 underground parking spaces. There'll be one space for each unit, and the units range in size from 751 square feet to 1,134 square feet. Then the second type of buildings is there will be six 19-unit buildings that will provide for six two-bedroom units and 13 one-bedroom units with individual entrances within two-story buildings. The buildings will also include 19 attached garages. Five of the garages do not have direct access to the apartment, but they're attached to that same building. The units range in size from 780 square feet to 1,264 square feet. And third, there's a clubhouse building that's proposed on the north side of the main entrance area as you come into the development. The entire development is proposed to be fenced with gated with a security entry adjacent to the clubhouse and a second gated emergency access to 116th Street. With respect to the fencing, they have provided a very attractive fencing that surrounds most of the site, and then along the north part of the site adjacent to the primary environmental corridor, the east side and the south side, they are proposing more of an agricultural field fence, and the staff has had some discussions with them, and we think that the fencing that is visible to the tenants and the people coming into the development, that should be that attractive fencing. But we should talk about that, and I know that he's here to discuss that with you. The developers identified that there's a need for multifamily apartments in the village due to several economic development projects being announced in Racine and Kenosha counties. He further indicated that the rental rates would all be based on market rates. Pursuant to the zoning ordinance, the minimum number of parking spaces for a one-bedroom unit is 1.5 spaces for each unit, with 50% within an enclosed structure, and a minimum of parking spaces for a two-bedroom is 2.5 spaces for each unit, with 75% of these within an enclosed garage structure. In addition, one space for every unit for guest parking and the required handicapped accessible parking per state code. Parking spaces behind the garages are not typically counted in minimum parking spaces per our code. So there's a breakdown there of the number of parking spaces based on the number of bedrooms and the number of guest parking spaces and the number of handicapped accessible spaces. So based on the foregoing, 431 spaces are required, of which 241 are required to be enclosed. The development includes 351 parking spaces, of which 213 are enclosed. In addition to the 351 parking spaces, there's an additional 102 parking spaces shown in front of garages in the 19-unit buildings. The developer indicated today that he feels parking is adequate. He also said that they might get some additional parking, and I'm not sure where that is, but there might even be some additional parking based on the numbers that they originally shown to us. The next is the Digital Security Imaging System, or the DSIS. We've drafted the DSIS agreement and easement. It will need to be finalized, executed prior to the issuance of permits. The DSIS system needs to be operational, inspected, and approved by the IT department prior to the occupancy of any buildings or units within the development. I think for the most part, there were some comments by the IT department and the fire department with respect to requiring some cameras in the underground parking and a camera inside the elevators. So we just need to make sure that those few changes are made with respect to the DSIS system. With respect to zoning map amendments for the development, the properties are currently zoned B5, Freeway Office District, and C1, and Lowland Resource Conservancy, C2, Upland Resource Conservancy, and FPO, Floodplain Overlay. The properties are proposed to be rezoned as follows. All the wetlands that were field delineated on the properties will be placed into the C1 district. The woodland areas to be preserved will be placed into the C2 district. The remainder of the properties, including the right-of-way area to be vacated, will also be placed into the main or primary zoning or the R11 multiple family residential district. The FPO that designates the 100-year floodplain will remain unchanged. The properties will all be placed into a PUD or planned unit development overlay. So with respect to the zoning text amendments, developing the apartment buildings and clubhouse as a planned unit development allows for flexibility with some of the requirements of the zoning ordinance, provided that there's a defined community benefit. The PUD also references that there's detailed residential plans that include site and civil plans, architectural plans for the buildings, landscaping plans, lighting plans, photometric plans for the development, all of which that have been provided and reviewed by the staff. The attached PUD ordinance includes the following items that they've requested dimensional variations. First, increase the residential net density from 9.6 to 21.1 units per acre. And that calculation is presented for you. To allow for 10 buildings on the property, to increase the number of apartment units allowed per building, to allow 3 33-unit buildings and 16 19-unit buildings, to increase the building height from 35 to 38 feet, for the three-story, 33-unit buildings, to reduce the street setback to 116th Avenue from a minimum of 65 feet to a minimum of 40 feet for the apartment building that's closest and the clubhouse, to allow for agricultural field fence in the north and west sides of the woods. Again, that's something that we do need to talk about, the fencing. To reduce the number of required parking spaces in the development. Again, I went through that whole analysis, but he believes that there's adequate parking. And again, it's only because I think that we don't count the space behind the garage. No parking shall be allowed on any private roadways, in the fire lanes, or on 116th Avenue. So the following community benefits have been identified or offered by the developer and are referenced in the PUD. First, the site shall be entirely fenced and gated. We'll just need to visit on that. A minimum of one parking space per unit will be provided in an enclosed garage attached to the building. A minimum of 20 feet between buildings or greater distance, if required by the building code, will be provided. The 19-unit buildings will have a roof pitch of 512. The windows on the west side of apartment buildings A and D will be soundproofed by using triple-pane windows to mitigate adjacent commercial noises. Got a little bit of an issue with respect to that, and there he's going to ask for a modification for that. So that's the second thing we need to talk about. All of the units will be offered at market rate rents. All apartment buildings and clubhouse will be fully sprinklered, regardless of state requirements, or as approved by the Fire and Rescue Department. The Fire and Rescue Department is not requiring the clubhouse to be sprinklered. So right now it's just all the apartment buildings to be sprinklered, so we do need to correct that as long as the Plan Commission Board agree to that. The landscaping and exterior turf shall be irrigated. They're recommending not to irrigate all of the area, but just certain areas. So we're trying to work through that with them. On-site security system, DSIS system, shall be installed and kept operational. Obviously, we have a couple of corrections to that plan. The pet-free apartment units and certain entire buildings will be provided and identified. They've agreed that a minimum of 4 of the 9 buildings will be kept pet-free, 2 of the 33-unit buildings and 2 of the 19-unit buildings, or buildings A, B, D, and E, are being shown as pet-free. A maximum number of 1 pet per unit for those buildings. And then the pet maximum weight is not to exceed 40 pounds at full growth and maturity. In addition, the developers agreed to restrict breeds or to prohibit the Mastiff, Pit Bulls, German Shepherds, Rottweilers, and Wolf-Dog hybrids. And then the final item is the Comprehensive Land Use Plan Amendments. I'm just going to briefly cover this. The filing cutoff was not met in order because of the 30-day public hearing notice, so that's actually going to be on the Plan Commission August 13th agenda for public hearing. So the approvals this evening will be subject to that that approval. Again, this will be our third or fourth item that we've talked about, the comprehensive plan. So it's more of a ministerial process, but we do need to hold a public hearing. So that'll be on August 13th. And that will cover the woodland area on the site to be preserved. It'll cover the two wetland areas, the location of the 100-year floodplain. The remainder of the property shall remain in the high-density land use designation, and the urban reserve designation on the property shall be removed. Again, all these changes will be discussed, and then they'll be made on the comprehensive plan as well. So I also went through the memorandum of understanding with the developer this afternoon. There were a couple of typos that we're going to correct, and then Interstate Partners is actually transferring the land to another party of theirs, another LLC. So we now need to get just the organizational documents and the warranty deed, which we will before we close and button everything up. So I just have to make those minor changes to the development agreement. And I think all other changes that we've talked about, we don't have any issues. So I think that that will be fine.
Mr. Brzezinski, anything to add or a question? It's a matter for public hearing, at least item E is, but we'll take comments at item D as well. Anybody wishing to speak? Anybody wishing to speak? We'll close the public hearings. Open up the comments and questions from the commission.
I have a couple.
Yep.
So, Gene, on the map, being between building A and B, there seems like there's not sidewalks, which if you look at E, G, F, H, there's kind of that sidewalky design kind of curved. Is there a reason why there aren't there?
Can you point on there? I can't get the map on my screen.
So, she's talking here. sidewalks, is there a reason why there's not?
I think that's a great question for the developer, but I think part of it might be is that the units to the south are all individual entry, so you've got a sidewalk going up to your unit and your door, and the units up there, there's main primary doors. Doors and common hallways, so... But I don't know if you want to address it to Fran. I'm not sure if what they're intending to do in that open space, or if it's just going to be kept open space, if they were going to do something unique or special in that area.
Okay. The other question I had was related to that those two buildings with the patio and then the parking being so close to that. Is there any plans to do any sort of particular beams or berms, I mean, from a safety perspective? I mean, I'm assuming that patio is sort of outdoor seating.
I think that's a really good question. I think that we might need to have Fran up and
Fran,
pull up the plans.
Maybe you can answer this.
Can you pull up the architectural plans or no?
Sorry, I think I heard everything. And
okay.
Between A and B, no, it's green area, grass area, open area. And Gene is right. On the two-story buildings, there's access on both sides. There is no ingress or egress between those
okay.
buildings. So you'd have to come around us. So we just had it as an open area, play catch, frisbees, whatever kind of thing. So, but it will be a grassed open area. I'm sorry, I missed the question about the parking proximity.
So if you look between it, I guess it's the south side of building A and B, there's patio listed there.
Yeah, you know, that patio, that's a little misleading. We had 33 units and 30 parking spaces originally, because that's, quite frankly, not everyone wants parking spaces underneath. So we needed to find three more parking spaces. So that thing that's called patio is the extension, actually, of the parking deck below. And so that's the top of the parking deck, really. So we're calling it a patio. We don't know what else to call it kind of thing. So it's the top of the parking deck is really what it is. Mm-hmm. We'll make it into something nice so it's an amenity for those couple units at the end. But it's
so it's not like outdoor seating
No, it'll be used. It's almost – we could put really artificial turf on it or something. We don't know what we're going to do with it. But right now what it really is, we call it patio. It's the top of the parking deck.
Okay.
So I need to follow up on that. I don't know what that looks like, Fran. Should there be something between the drive lane and that building? What's that distance between that patio and that
drive? Not much. I mean, there aren't going to be people that – I mean, no one is going to be making use – well, I don't know of anybody. I shouldn't say that. We don't know. It's a detail that – this is why we push back on 33 parking spaces kind of thing.
We need to look at that.
We don't – you know, right now – you're right. Right now it's the top of the parking deck. It'll be something decent so people can come out onto it, those two units, individual units, but it's not available to the public.
So do you have any other elevations that would show us what that looks like?
It's flat. There's nothing. There's not enough. You can't see no. It's ground. It's a concrete, smooth concrete top to the...
So the elevation on the board is not showing correctly what you're doing because it's showing the building stops and the sidewalk and the parking lot. That's not correct then. So in between the sidewalk and the building.
It's a rendering of the building, but it's not a rendering of, you can't see the patio, we call the patio. You can't see the top of the parking deck there.
I think we need to see an elevation of what that looks like. We need to have like bollards or something? Because as you're driving, I mean, if there's not even a 5-foot setback there, I don't know what that setback is.
There's a curb.
Okay, so.
Fran, are you saying, so where it says residential phase one, are you saying there would be a curb along that?
Nathan, I don't remember if there's curb and gutter required or there. Not. I mean, if there's curb and gutter, it's curb
be.
Along the street.
It needs to be.
What's it going to be used for, Fran?
Quite frankly, it was going to be grass. Now it's going to be used. There's a unit that can view onto it. You know, the end units on the first floor could have access to it. But it's going to be used for...
So there's going to be
open space,
there's going to be a door.
But I can't call it open space because it's not grass.
There's going to be a door to that patio.
But it's not a when you say patio.
No,
it's
no,
just
there's
it's
not,
basically
no, there's
a roof,
view,
like a lean-to.
View to it, but there's not a door to it.
Then why even have it?
Because I need, I had to get three more parking spaces.
I think we need
and
to see
no
what that
underneath.
Looks like.
Huh? That's why.
So
I need to see what that looks like.
Fran, if I can, just for clarification, basically what you're saying is there's going to be a concrete slab, if you will.
Yep.
And there's going to be about, I'm guessing, 4 or 3 feet of grass between that slab and
the curb
and the parking lot area. Will there be a curb?
Parking lot area. Not be, you mean between that and the street?
Well, sure. The drive lane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you saying there would be a curb there along that drive
no,
lane?
No, I'm saying I don't remember. Tell the truth, I'm embarrassed, but I don't remember if we have curb on the interior as a requirement or not.
It okay. is. It is a requirement.
I think it is curbed, so it's you're right along the street.
There is an 18-inch curb in the
yeah.
6 feet. It's 6 feet
yeah, people
feet
aren't
from the
be,
curb.
Well, shouldn't be driving up over
you,
the curb.
They wouldn't be driving up over the curb. There would be a grass, be like, a grassy area, and then after that it would basically
top,
be a slab. And
the top of the parking deck.
And there's no, there would be no change in elevation or yeah. height because the slab would just be at ground
grade.
Level.
At grade.
So should that be like fenced for an outdoor seating area?
I mean, he could have maybe.
Because otherwise, that'll look odd if there's just like a slab of
yeah,
concrete
would.
There. We need
yeah.
to.
I think
I mean,
we.
There needs to be something because that could be a great outdoor seating area.
What's going
to
stop somebody from driving across that little bit of grass and parking their car there?
The curb.
Then why even
well,
offer
they have
this?
To go over the curb.
But that's what it really. What Fran's saying is it's for parking.
No.
Not
underneath.
Underneath. It's for the underground.
Yeah.
We would not have that except for the requirement to get three more parking stalls underneath the building.
So if a, structurally, though, if a car did drive up over that 3 or 4 feet and you had somebody had a big party, right, and you had, you know, something going on that's not far from the clubhouse, and all of a sudden you had people who were driving up and over that curb and parking there, what sort of structurally would it do to the cars underneath it potentially?
The same thing at your house if someone drove over the curb, over the sidewalk, and into your front lawn and mowed somebody over. That's it's the same
where?
Detail.
Okay.
What with that patio, what you're calling is it's an extension of the underground. Lower underground parking.
Correct.
Okay. So I'm thinking that what's to stop somebody from in one of the units there to drive up there, park his car overnight or whatever. I kind of leaning towards what Gene is saying is to fence that in and use it for a patio, and maybe you can get a couple extra bucks out of the unit then, you know?
Maybe.
So I wouldn't want to see somebody parking the car there.
Well, there will be, I assure you, nobody will be, well, who the hell knows what happens.
You don't. You're
right.
You don't.
There,
right.
That will be monitored. Somebody parks their car there, the police and towing company will be there to tow it, take it away.
Well,
but you're right. I mean, people can't do anything. You're right.
I would utilize that area as a patio, fence it in, and
that's
not.
Good. That's
not,
good advice.
Not to have so many. To park there anyway.
Okay.
Put some cement plantings on there, whatever you want to do.
How about we work with the staff to figure something out?
We could come up with something with them. It could be maybe a neat outdoor amenity. I don't know. You'd have to be able to get to it.
All right.
It might need to be gated.
Just to note, in the plans, Fran does have landscaping on the east and the west side of those patios. So there is some decorative aspect to make it.
So maybe just a fencing along that south end
right.
on each of those, and then they could.
Well, I would.
Let us come back to staff with something.
Yeah.
It's a good advice, and
I,
you know,
I agree
that's
with that.
good comments.
Really
good.
Right. Any other comments or questions?
How's your gated community work? Is it just the residents are only the ones in and out, or if they have guests, they register, or how does that work?
Well, this is the – we probably wouldn't have a gate. But that's the dub. It's a gated, and yeah, they'll have to come with guests. Probably with all the technology has changed probably three times in the last year and a half on what's the latest grace. It'll probably be passcode stuff that changes daily that the tenants can give. Deliveries is not a problem because our clubhouse and our on-site people are there during normal hours. So the issue is going to be, you know, drunken friends come home at night and how do they get in kind of thing.
Right. There's a security gates that have use apps on the iPhones on their that will.
Yeah, we've seen that, Mike, and we're still going through, you know, how do we do that? It's like I said, it's cheap. We don't want to give fobs. We've heard bad things that doesn't work in a lot of communities. You know, we don't have a guard there all the time. So we're trying to sort that out right now, as a matter of fact.
And then the staff had showed me the landscape drawings. And just to go on record, we, at least I felt, you should have a little bit more diversity along the north side because it'll eventually be other commercial. Right now it's just all evergreen. Your designer has just made it all evergreen. Obviously you can put some ornamentals or shade trees or shrubs and perennials to kind of give that a little bit more depth.
Yeah, what we're hoping, you know, and who knows, we're hoping we're here later this year, the first part of next year, to maybe do a phase two. That's some of the thought on how that flows through as well. But I don't know.
One last question. Is there any special features in your clubhouse or just open space?
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, you'll be overwhelmed when you come in that. There's a whole – I mean, it's a whole – you know, you've got all of the stuff. We still wish we had a –
except a pool.
We still wish we had a swimming pool, but the grills – it's a kitchen, grills inside, the exercise area, the fitness areas, and the technology that now goes with all of those kinds of things. There are meeting rooms, our offices. There'll be a huge mail room for the Amazon drop-offs, and then that gets coded in so they aren't coming into the project. They're just – dropping off there. So, yeah, it's actually a it's kind of the fun part of the project, actually. Okay. There'll be an extension also to the north where you see that little semicircle. That'll be grills and open area.
So that's a true patio.
That's a true patio. Mm-hmm. That's where the people will, and that'll be enclosed. That's where people will be gathering, yes.
Okay.
Any other comments or questions?
Yep, I want to just, you know, there's three points that I think that we just want to kind of get ironed out. One of which is the glass. Why don't you address that? Windows?
Yeah, good one. Thanks. For sound attenuation on the westerly facing buildings, we thought the best way to do it and the best way was to do it was to do triple pane glass instead of double pane glass, which we have everywhere else. Well, it turns out we have an architectural element that are called muntins, and they kind of frame the windows and that kind of thing. Well, it turns out it's either muntins or not triple pane glass. Now, we can get thicker double pane glass, which I can't staff asked a good question today. Is that the same as sound attenuation? And I don't know. It's got to be close. But I want to keep the architectural significant detail, and I'll increase the size, but it'll probably be double pane as opposed to thicker double pane as opposed to triple pane. So I have to get language to staff on the details of that.
Fran, just so that you're aware, I did look into that just a little bit, and I think that would be acceptable. The question is the thickness.
I'll give you the spec and detail, Nathan.
Okay.
That'll be Gene and Peggy asked the same, and Aaron asked the same thing. I'll get that detail. I haven't been back to the office yet.
Any other comments or questions?
So the next thing was the fencing, and if you scroll down to the fencing details, it's very attractive, the fencing, the main fencing, and what they're asking to do is to, maybe Peggy can mark up there on the screen, they're asking to put like an agricultural field fence around the north, east, and south side of the primary environmental corridor, as opposed to the real attractive fencing that they have around the rest of the site. Their comments are that, you know, no one's really going to see it on the north side. I mean, we are adjacent to the JHT Holdings building. And then the on the north side, on the east side, we're abutting the conservancy. The south side, in my opinion, we are abutting the building where people are going to walk their dogs. So that southern red line, my recommendation is that that be the same attractive fencing that they have elsewhere.
What about people that live in their buildings? When they're looking out their window, what can they see?
What are they going to see? Attractive fencing, at least.
Attractive on the south side. Not. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the agriculture fencing that he's asking for on the south side. Won't that be visible?
So, and that's what we're saying. See where she just identified in the red? Maybe just circle it up there, Peggy. So that where she's just circled it up there, that's where I'm suggesting that be the real nice fencing like he has throughout. And on the west side, adjacent to that building, the same thing. But he's asking for the agricultural fencing along the north side. She's going to circle it really big this time. And the east side. And so
let me explain some of the logic here for
sure.
What we're doing and why we're asking for these kinds of things. First of all, with all the trees and all the wooded area, it's hard to get, you know, we have straight runs on all the other areas. All of a sudden you have all the trees and all the roots. We have our retention pond, detention pond on the south side, north side. This egg fence, you get different colors. We want it to kind of blend in. It'll be high and maybe even cut inside sometimes and the like, so it won't be as rigid, and you don't need the foundations for this like you do the regular fencing. It'll keep the dogs and people in place and everything like that, but we'll be able to meander it a little bit, and with all the trees and tree roots and like, we need to be able to meander a little bit. We may go in a little more or out a little bit more, but if I have to put that ornamental fencing on the south side, I'm really close to my wetland. I've got some topographic issues there. I'm worried about putting in foundations and then them slipping. I really think, and this isn't a save money or get ugly fencing kind of thing. It's a practical solution. And I appreciate that you're worried about my tenants seeing those fences, but you know what? They'll be just fine. Thank you for what they'll see there. And I think we'll meander the fence in a little bit and throughout the south side, north side, and east side. That'll be kind of game time decision while we encircle the entire project. So I'd ask that at least, you know, you think of ag, I don't like the word agricultural fence. I mean, it'll be a fencing. It's not like we're putting ropes up there.
Doesn't agricultural fencing still have to be set into the ground?
Yeah, but not to the extent. You know, we may be tacking some of it, quite frankly, onto some trees and things like that so that we don't have to set so it's sturdy. Everybody understands this is not going to prevent huge break-ins or anything like that. But it'll you know, dogs, you'll keep dogs where dogs belong. It'll make people cognizant of where they can and can't go.
What's it made out of, Fran? What's the agricultural fence?
Yeah, Mike, good question. And I'm sorry.
It's like a galvanized steel in it.
It's a bit
wire.
Yeah.
And then wood posts probably.
But it's not sunk as far, and we'll attach it to. There's so many trees there, you know. We're just going to attach it. And there's trees up to that point, and going down to the retention pond or stormwater pond, whatever everybody calls it, something different. So I just, you know, give us a shot. Don't by definition make me do that south side. Like it's just going to be such a pain in the ass.
Well, the thing that bothers me is. And my feeling is to have consistency throughout your whole piece of property, regardless. And I'm not a fan of that fencing there. You're gonna have two different fences meet each other.
But you won't even see that detail in that corner in that wooded area. No, I would suggest to you that's gonna be, I don't want to say camouflage, but sit here, you won't even know that there's fencing there.
I'm still of the opinion that having consistency throughout the development for fencing, and I'm not a fan of that agricultural fence, especially out here.
It's actually called a deer and wildlife fence.
Yeah,
and we have the details, but again, we were suggesting that it be placed in front of the trees. And so he doesn't have to wind through the trees just on that south side. I mean, I can understand certainly on the very east side and on the north side. I haven't walked that property to see exactly what that looks like. Again, that's a stone's throw basically from that that JHT building. So I'm not sure what the intent is to try to hide it so you can't really see it on the north side.
I'm going to have to make a decision on the south side here.
The thing is that's somewhat barbed, am I correct?
Somewhat what?
Barbed.
I don't think so.
No.
I think just twisted galvanized.
Yeah.
Like a chain link fence?
No. There's a detail.
Here. Well, so, Fran, just for clarification, on the south side, is it going to be inside the tree line, or is it going to be on the outside of the tree line?
There isn't much room outside the tree line. And you have hundreds of trees, huge trees. You might recall, members of the Planning Commission, that we actually wanted to move our retention pond north into there. But there are so many huge trees in there that the staff decided, no, you can't do that. I'll tell you, to try to dig through, I mean, it's just, if you walked it, you would understand. If anybody walked that site, you would understand.
It's okay. It does what it's supposed to do.
It's a primary environmental corridor, and that's why it is dense woods. We know that.
It's not aluminum.
It's not, yeah, it is.
I'm not trying to say
we are, if it's helpful, we can run that fence to the north of the south, the south area we're talking about, to meander in that you can't see it at all.
I think that's what they're looking for. We want to get well into the woods before it just kind of disappears. And then depending on where
we could push it north into the wooded area so you don't see it kind of thing.
I think that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Because really, to have it east of the wooded area, nobody's ever going to see that, really. I mean,
not on the east side.
Yeah, no. So I mean that makes fine to have a wildlife fence, but everything at least going into the woods, I would think you want to just kind of disappear.
Well, I mean, we'll bring it into
on the north side of
up at the top of the wooded area.
But it's not going to be attached to any trees or anything like that. I mean,
freestanding.
It has to be freestanding. Yeah. It might not go perfectly straight either.
Right.
Because
what they did behind us is they took a skid steer machine, and they used like a compressed hammer on top and just pounded posts straight on the ground, and then they ran the attachments across that. So it was a pretty simple way to do it.
There weren't thousands of trees there, I bet, but
I think there
are 1,000 trees in there.
What's the longevity of that fence?
Well, they're like treated timber, like you'd see telephone poles. So, but they're just like a stained green, real light green. So they should last.
Just like you see in the highway right away.
I'm sorry?
Just like what you see in the highway right away.
Exactly.
That's not very nice.
You
got a perfect development. I know what you're saying, friend. But you got a beautiful development. You know, we're giving you the east side, but the south, you're going to have to play with us a little bit on this. You can do.
All you'd have to do is come through and just cut, a small path through there.
I'm going to have to cut down some trees.
Well, Hackbrush's not here. So.
Yeah, I mean, if you walked it, you'd understand. I will have to cut down some trees.
Well, I would definitely want to see the decorative fence on the north side.
On the north side?
Well, you're coming.
I can't even put it on my property on the north side.
On the north side of the woodlands.
On the north side of the woodlands, that's right, unless I'm cutting down trees again. I mean, no, that just, I mean, in all due respect, no, that doesn't make any sense. Who sees it? I mean, none of my tenants see it. Nobody in the world sees this stuff. I'm just confused on this.
How visible is it from
there? Do you envision that anyone would ever walk through the woods?
Yeah.
I mean, people do walk through woods and walk. I mean, it's an environmental corridor. Come across an ugly fence? I mean, that's what we're trying to get at here. You know, with all due respect.
I wouldn't even have a fence around the whole area. But the fence, if you're in that, it's going to be hard to walk through that wooded area. And we'll have a fence on the periphery. We'll have it meander through. We don't want it sticking out as a, we're not looking for eyesore either. But it's just
beautiful office.
I don't know that you appreciate what you're asking.
Fran, what would be, did you look into like a chain link, like a decorative or a covered chain link fence?
Did you see on tennis courts, you mean? Things like that? I think that
a
is
vinyl
more
coated.
Of an eyesore than the other stuff. I mean, at different times of the year.
I'm not suggesting around the main perimeter of your property, but like through through the forested area, a chain link fence would probably be pretty easy in order to maneuverable. I'm just wondering if that would be an option.
I mean, for us, this isn't about cost or saving. This is about, you know, functionality and making it work and keeping wooded area. I'm not even pounding on the table about dollars here. I'm pounding on the table about functionality and making it look good. And the ag, what they call the ag fence, we can meander that and make it look cleaner. We have more flexibility with it. We can put it inland so you don't see it from on the north or the south. It just gives us flexibility. I think that's why some people buy red cars and some people buy blue cars. You know, I don't know what to tell you on that. I mean, we think.
Could we have somebody go with him at another day and look at this and see where he's looking to put this fence to see if it's going to work and it's not going
to
work?
I'm the best person because I can identify different types of trees.
And you need to understand where the pond comes in and how that contour, how that slopes up there too, and how little area there is in between.
Right. Because, again, none of us want to cut down trees, trust me.
Well, no.
But we also want to have the best solution for everybody.
Okay. Yeah, but you don't know if they're scrub trees or what.
No, I do.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but what I'm
right,
saying
that's
is
what I'm saying. We can't make a blanket decision without really knowing what's
exactly.
Happening.
All right, you got work with Brock.
And then Brock.
And Aaron and my staff.
And Aaron.
Okay. Aaron can go. And I think, Brock, what you were suggesting was if we were to take the decorative fence to the north, so from the south north into the forested area deep enough, and then at that point take the other fence so that you can't see it. It's hidden.
Right. Right.
That might not be a bad.
Right.
So that would be acceptable to us for sure.
This is not going to hold up the project.
Thank you.
Well, you're coming, but we have to do this. We have to have our meeting.
Disappear right here.
Oh, gosh.
August 13th, right? For your
It goes to the village.
There's one on the board. The board is on the 6th.
So we'd like to get this figured out by the 6th. That's the next board meeting.
Right. So, I mean, so this isn't the finish of it. I mean, we still got meetings left.
You'd like to get it worked out so that
as far
it can
as we're concerned, you have a year to figure it out.
Yeah, I think once we sign off on this thing, it's off and running.
Because this should be completely out of sight.
All right.
Back here and over here.
Yeah, well, that's
Rod, do I just
can I,
well, do I coordinate?
You know that,
we'll
no, coordinate with
Aaron,
that
you're not my see staff, it, and then he'll coordinate you with get, Brock and Kurt. The, so there'll be a couple of you that go out there.
All right. Aaron, you'll call me?
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
That sounds good.
You have that.
And just to have consistency through here.
Okay, what's your pleasure?
Can I clarify one of
the things? Item D, what's your pleasure?
Well, wait, there's this
I want to clarify on. Something first, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Mike?
Over here.
Me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Deb.
I'll speak louder. So is the on building, I guess it's building I, is the patio on what's listed as the patio on the north side or the south side? Because on slide 16, it shows it on.
It's on the north side.
Okay. Slide 16 shows it on the south side. And I just want to clarify that building E is a no pets building. So, Gene, when you're
I forget which ones are the no pet, but whatever so staff the, wanted, we gave.
The document that you read and that we reviewed, the PDF, says that E is a no pets building. But on the PowerPoint, it's not referenced that way anywhere. And I just want to make sure that we've got consistency and clarity.
A, B, D, and E.
Right.
So we'll clarify that.
All right. Thank you. That's enough of my questions.
Anything else?
Yep.
Anybody else? Gene?
Go ahead, Gene.
So and the last thing was developer does not want to do any irrigation along 116th Avenue.
No.
And that is kind of tied to something we just found out, and that is that there may need to be an easement in 116th Avenue adjacent to this development, maybe even on this property, for an easement for a force main that comes down to the State Line 94 development. So I think we need to kind of get that figured out as well over the next 2 weeks. So I have like five different things that I think that we need to just kind of get ironed out. I think that it shouldn't stop the development, but we just get a little bit more clarification. One is the fencing. Two is a revised landscape plan on the north side. Three is the window glass clarification and just that detail. And four is irrigation along 116th Avenue, and then the easement for the force main. And then five is the patio area and putting maybe some fencing along that area. I don't want people to use it for storage outside. I don't want it to be where the garbage cans go. I think it really needs to have a defined purpose. We just got to figure out that what that is, and if it's an attractive pergola or something. I mean, we just have to figure out what it is. I'd rather not just, could be a shuffleboard court. I mean, what I don't want it to be is just
unknown.
I think there it needs to have some purpose from his perspective, or at least a defined purpose.
So,
Gene, is that, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Is that, or maybe Matt, is that general easement that's described on the CSM, is that everything other than sewer utility? Or is that, is that just the public utilities?
That's just the initial general utility easement that was granted or identified by WISPARC. They just did that for general utility purposes. It's not really defined, and okay. Maybe we do need to define it for sewer or for something. Maybe I just need to clarify that with Matt.
Okay, so, Gene, and I guess what I'm still a little bit leery of is the fencing. We're letting him go with the deer fencing along the east side of that woodlands, correct?
I don't think I heard that. I heard that the guys are going to go out there with Fran and his team and kind of walk through it, see what it looks like, see how hidden it may or may not be, and what type of fencing. I'm sure that you have to see it one way or another. Is it going to be visible? Not visible. Is it tucked in? Not tucked in. What's the purpose? I think that issue has to get worked out in the next 2 weeks and be presented to the board is what I think needs to happen. Just like the landscape plan and the patio and the fencing and the...
Any other comments or questions?
Okay.
Item D, what's your pleasure?
I move that we approve the DSIS agreement and the preliminary agreements contingent upon staff comments that have been identified to date, the allocating time for the staff and representatives from the commission to go out and evaluate the fence locations. I'm not sure that I don't recall that we came up with a solid recommendation on that patio area.
I think that's going to be determined what kind of either fencing or some type of...
No. Oh, yeah, whatever's going to be on that needs to be resolved to the approval of staff.
Right. Correct.
And you know, it's too bad is that's a no-pet building, because that would be a good place for the enclose the pets, too.
Yep.
We'll figure something out.
I got one other quick question.
Yeah.
Is that well staked with survey marks back there to kind of know where your property line is?
No, we haven't surveyed where the fence will go yet.
No, but I'm saying your property boundaries, so we make sure the fence is on your property.
Oh, yes. I will tell you, we weren't planning on the east of going to the property, and we were going to bring it in several yards just to stay farther away from the hunting area. I mean, so, we'll talk about that when we walk it.
Mike, go ahead and continue.
Okay, so the ones I've identified yet, you got these, Jan? Well, you're ahead of me if you do. And then in contingent upon the approval of the comprehensive land amendment. So, that has to happen too. So I think, in a way, we're getting the cart ahead of the horse here. We've got, we really don't have this thing buttoned up really yet. I mean, there's some issues hanging out there. We still need to get the comp plan amendment done. So contingent on all that happening, then I'd recommend doing it. If we can't come up to agreement on some of those issues, then my recommendation as part of this amendment is to bring it back to the Plan Commission to get it more refined.
Is there a second to that?
I second it.
Motion made and seconded to approve whatever Mike said. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the ayes have it.
Thank you.
Item E is the consideration of the zoning map and zoning text amendment.
Move for the map and text amendment.
Second.
Go ahead, Gene.
Motion made and seconded for approval of the zoning.
Wait. So,
I'm sorry.
And that amendment needs to be contingent upon what Mike just stated, because we do need to make a couple of PUD modifications as it pertains to the thickness of the glass and double pane versus triple pane. She's got a lot of details in that PUD. So we will, when it goes to the board, these five issues that get resolved, we'll make sure that those are reflected accordingly
okay,
in this
right.
PUD.
Yes.
I agree.
Because it talks about fencing in the PUD
yes.
and all these.
It's all staff.
So subject to our discussion.
Staff.
Yeah, okay. We have a motion and a second, if it is on.
Motion, she seconded.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those the ayes have it. Adjournment.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Move to adjourn.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All those in favor say aye.
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 Those the ayes have it. Thank you.